Hey everyone, thanks for joining us today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. This is the place where Rick Warren brings you uplifting messages from God's Word every day to help you grow deeper in faith and live a life with purpose. Today we're continuing in a powerful series called Toolbox for Life. In this series, Rick teaches us four essential skills that you need to succeed wherever God has placed you. Whether it's at home, at work, at school, or in your community, these are tools that every follower of Jesus absolutely needs. I can't wait to get right into today's message, so here's Rick with the final part of a message called Maximizing Your Strengths.
Now, how do I discover how God shaped me for my purpose in life? Two things, write these down. Number one, first, by examining my past. One of the ways to know God's will for your future is by looking at your past. Not at the events that happened to you, but at the things that you were good at. Galatians 3, verse 4 in the Bible says this, you have experienced, that's what we're talking about, you've experienced many things. Were all those experiences wasted? God says, I don't want you to waste your experiences. I want you to learn from them. The fact is, God has been working in your life since your birth. Actually, even before you were born. God started working in your life long before you knew there was a God. He started working in your life long before you accepted Christ into your heart. He's been working to shape you for the purpose he made you for, your life mission, from the very beginning. And so you need to go back, and here's what the Bible says, Galatians 6:4. Everyone should examine, circle the word examine, examine his own conduct. Not somebody else's, not your parents. Examine your own conduct. In other words, what are you good at and what are you not good at? Then he will be able to take the measure of his own worth with no need to compare himself to others. God says, you don't compare yourself to others. What did my sister do? What's my brother good at? What's my dad, my mom good at? Forget that. You look at your own past, you examine your own conduct, and then you can take a full measure of your own worth. Here's my homework for you. Pastor Rick's homework assignment this week. I want you to take a half an hour this week and sit down with a piece of paper, just a blank piece of paper, and make a rule it off by every 10 years. The first 10 years, you know, grade school. The second 10 years, junior high and high school. Third years, your 20s, and then 40s for how many decades you've lived. And then I want to ask you to try to do a life inventory. Now, what does that mean? It means you do exactly what that verse says, examine your own conduct. And what you do is you look and you say, what was I good at each stage in my life? And what did I enjoy doing at each stage in my life? Here are the two things. I'm good at it, and I enjoy doing it. Now, there are some things that you're good at and you don't enjoy. Don't worry about that, okay? And there's some things, by the way, that you enjoy and you're not good at. I mean, many of you don't know that before I was a pastor, I was a worship leader. I played guitar and drums all my life, had garage bands all the time growing up, junior high, high school, and college. And I actually started off leading worship because I have a passion and I love to sing. The only problem was nobody liked to listen to it. So I loved to do it, but I wasn't good at it. And I didn't have the skills for that. So the key thing is to say, what am I good at and what do I love to do? And I want you to look for patterns in your life, because if you were good at it at an early age, you're going to be good at it later on in life. A kid who's good as a soccer player at 10 is going to be a good and even better soccer player at 20. Because there's just natural ability that's coming out there even at an early age. Look for the patterns in your life. When I was a little boy, and I was called Ricky, I was a collector, and I loved to collect things. I collected coins. I collected stamps. I collected rocks. I collected shells, seashells. I collected chicken bones. I'm not kidding. I made a necklace out of wishbones. It looked like some tribal chief or something. I collected different kinds of horseshoes. And, you know, when I look back on all, and we used to call it, my mom and dad called it Rick's valuable property. And my room was filled with all kinds of collections of stuff as a little boy. And what I liked the most about that was not the collecting part, but the categorizing. That goes with that, and that goes with that. And I could see things early on. Those four things go together, and those five things go together. And I was I didn't know the words. I was a synthesizer, a simplifier, and a categorizer. And I was going, that goes with that. And as a little boy, I was doing this. Today, many, many decades later, I'm still doing the same thing, only I do it with ideas. And so what I do is I look at what's going on, and I read deeply in the world. I read the sciences. I read botany and zoology and physiology. I read psychology. I read history. I read the arts. I read behavioral sciences. I read politics. Of course, I'm in God's Word, reading it constantly, over and over and over. And then what I do is I see all these ideas. I go, oh, that idea goes with that one, and that idea goes. I'm now a collector and a categorizer and a synthesizer and a simplifier of ideas. And so then I come to church and say, here, four of these. Now, you know, that looks pretty simple. You try that. You try making that every week for 35 years, okay? Because you may hit a home run this week. Next week, you're at bat in six more days. And it's hard making something simple. Einstein said, you don't really understand something until you can simplify it. But that's what I was wired to do. I was wired to take very complex things and make them sound very, very simple. And it showed up in my life since as a little boy. So you look for the patterns in your life. Now look at this verse on the screen. The Bible says, try to have a sane estimate of your capabilities. Now a sane estimate says, I don't think I'm the best in the world, but I'm not the worst in the world either. I'm just good at this. And the Bible says you do it and say, I'm good at this without comparing yourself to anybody else. So the first thing you have to do in discovering is to examine. The second thing, Tommy's already alluded to this, is by experimenting. By experimenting with different tasks. If you're in your 20s, my biggest advice to you, more than college or anything else, is this. Try as many different things as you can, as early as you can, to see what you're good at. Because you're not going to know you're good at it until you try it. And you go, I didn't like that. That wasn't good. Oh, that's good, but I really like this, and I'm good at it, and I'm fruitful, and I'm fulfilled. And so you just start trying stuff. And you just look for, in church, you look for a place to volunteer. God, some people are sitting waiting for God to say, I'm waiting for God to tell me what to do with my life. It isn't going to happen. It isn't going to happen. God does not steer a parked car. You got to be moving. You can't steer a parked car. You can only move. So just start moving. Do anything. Volunteer for anything. And as you start volunteering, then God will go, hey, this is what I want you to do with your career. This is what I want you to do with your life. And you'll start understanding. And by experimenting, just try out a bunch of options. There is no test that you can take that will explain your shape, how God wired you. There's no test. The reason why is because every test is standardized and every human being is unique. The whole idea of shape is there's nobody else like you in the world, so you couldn't take a standardized test and find out what is your unique shape. Now, years ago, I remember back in the 70s, They had these spiritual gift tests. They don't have any more because they don't work. And I remember as a teenager, I took a spiritual gift test to find out what my spiritual gift was, and the only thing it came up with was that I had the gift of martyrdom. Oh, great, martyrdom. You get to die for Jesus. That's great. That's the gift you only get to use one time. And it's over. And you only get to use it on the last day of your life. What kind of gift is that? You know, I could have taken 1,000 tests and I would have never known that I was good at teaching. Why? I'd never done it. I'd never even tried it. And one day somebody asked me to fill in for some youth Bible study, and I go, okay, I'll try that. And my knees were knocking, and I was scared to death. And I planned like 5-hour sermon, and it was done in 4 minutes. And, you know, and I go, well, what do you guys want to talk about? Anybody read Mad Magazine this week? Or, you know, just, and watch me nay-nay, you know, here we go. So you know, and I didn't know what to do. And so, but as I began to just try something, people would come up and go, hey, you know, Rick, when you talk, it makes sense. I get it. I understand it. You make something complex simple. I get it. Now, here's an important thing in discovering your shape. Other people will see it before you do. Other people will often see how God shaped you before you do. Because when you're naturally good at something, you think everybody's good at it. They're not. You think it's easy for everybody. It's not. And when you're good at something, you just think it's a normal thing. Well, anybody should be able to do that. Well, they don't. And so other people will actually have to point it out in you. Some of you, for instance, as Tommy pointed out, you're very, very organized. And if I were to go to your clothes closet, it's color-coded. And all of the blue shirts or blue dresses are all in the same area. And you think everybody's that organized. Are you kidding? Of course not. But because you're good at it, you think. Parents, one of the most important things you can say to a young person is, you know what you'd be good at? Not telling them what you want them to be good at, but saying, you know what you're good at? And it releases people. We have to experiment, and oftentimes other people will see it before you do. Which, by the way, the fastest way to discover your God-given shape is get in a church. Because other people will see it in a church, and particularly in a small group. And as you talk in a small group, week after week, people go, you know what you'd be good at? And it'll come out there. So I've got to discover my shape. Second thing you got to do to become who God wants you to be, I have to accept my shape. And this is a hard thing for many people. Unfortunately, many people reject what God made them to be. And they spend their entire lives trying to be something they're not. And then they wonder why they're so unhappy and so unfulfilled. You were made to be you, not anybody else. And if you try to be somebody else that you're not shaped to be, you're going to be miserable. Now, there are two barriers that keep you from fulfilling your unique shape in life. Comparing and conforming. Comparing with other people. Well, I want the gifts he's got. I like what she's got. And I want to be like that person. There are two problems, comparing and conforming. Comparing, never compare yourself to anybody else. Why? Because you're one in a billion. No, you're one in a zillion. God doesn't make clones. You have a unique thumbprint, voice print, eye print. Nobody's ever going to be like you. So never compare yourself. And when you get to heaven, God's not going to say, why weren't you more like Moses? Or your sister. He's going to say, I made you to be you. I didn't make you to be your dad. I didn't make you to be your mom. I made you to be you. And so he says, don't compare. By the way, if you compare your entire life, you'll be miserable. Because you'll always find somebody you're doing a better job than, and you get full of pride. And you'll always find somebody who's doing a better job than you, and you get full of discouragement. Either way, you're dead in the water. Pride and discouragement put you on the sidelines. Then conforming is when you feel like I've got to be like somebody else. And the two myths, I actually wrote two more chapters, you know, when we revised Purpose Driven Life, on I must be like you or I must be liked by you. These are envy and people-pleasing are the two things that kill God's purpose in your life. And so you got to stop being preoccupied with, I wish I was like that person. I wish I was like her. I wish I was like him. Now, anytime you reject the shape God has given you, you're really rebelling against God. You're rejecting your creator when you reject the way he created you. Let me show you a verse. It's here on the screen. The Bible says in Romans chapter 9, what right do you have as a human being to cross-examine, in other words, to question how God made you, cross-examine God? He said, you know, like in a pottery shop, you got the potter making the pot. The pot has no right to say to the potter, why did you make me this shape? A potter can do whatever he likes, with the clay. As your pastor who loves you and wants to coach you to succeed in every area of your life, I would encourage you to spend more time asking, what do I do well? And less time on what do I do wrong? Stop spending so much time in your life going, what do I do wrong? And instead say, what do I do well? That is the key to maximizing your strengths, and it's the key, one of the keys to this, you know, skill will bring success. Now, one of the areas you're going to have to deal with, and I'm going to say this because we're Saddleback's United Nations. I've told you many times, in our church, we speak 67 different languages because we want our church to look like heaven's going to look like. And in heaven, it's not going to be all white people, black people, brown people, or any other color. It's going to be a God loves variety. If you don't believe that, look down your row. God loves variety. He does not want us to look alike, act alike, talk alike, sound alike. And so we say we want to be an all-nation congregation. We want every nation in our church. One of the areas that many people struggle with is their heredity. And God sovereignly selected your parents, when you would be born, where you would be born, how you would be born, your ethnicity, your race, the color of your skin. All of these things are sovereignly decided by God. And accepting your heredity is a part of finding God's purpose for your life. Today in our society, we have an epidemic of depression. People are depressed, and the reason why is because they have confused identity. They don't know who they are. And because when you don't know who you are, you're gonna be depressed in life. And more than that, they don't not only don't know who they are, they're trying to be something they're not. And that doesn't work. And they're denying the truth of God's word. They're denying what God made them to be. They're listening to culture instead of the Bible. And the culture says, this is what's beautiful. That's not what God says beautiful, but they say, this is what's beautiful. Well, I better be like that. And we have people with curly hair wanting to have straight hair, and people with straight hair wanting to have curly hair. Light-skinned people want to get darker with a tan, and dark-skinned people want to get lighter, and people want to be taller and shorter. And God said, wait a minute. Who set up that standard of beauty? You're listening to the world. We're trying to be something you're not, and that causes all kinds of confusion. Now, the other trap, as I said, is conformity. Have you noticed that many people have a plan for your life? And if you want to be what God wants you to be, you're going to have to tune out what other people want you to be. You're going to have to say, wait a minute, I got to be what God wants me to be, not what my parents or anybody else. Stop fulfilling roles that God didn't assign you. Some of you are still trying to please parents who are dead. And you stop fulfilling roles. You've got to go back to the first skill we talked about, ignoring the naysayers. Let me read you some famous quotes. You are hopeless as a composer, Beethoven's music teacher. You are so stupid, you will never learn anything, Edison's teacher. You are never going to be good at math, and he flunked him, Einstein's teacher. Here's a guy who was fired by a newspaper editor because he said the guy had no creativity, Walt Disney. You got to quit listening to the wrong people. You got to start listening to what God says about you. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 7:17 on the screen. Each one should retain the place in life that the Lord has assigned to him and to which God has called him. God's calling on your life. God has called everybody to a purpose. God has called you to a specific life mission. And the only way you're going to know that, remember, function follows form, is look at your shape. Now, part of that, as I said, is your experiences. And sometimes even those experiences will be painful. But let's give Tommy a warm welcome.
God will never, ever waste a hurt in your life. He wants to take all that makes you, this S-H-A-P-E, and he wants to use it. He wants to use it for his good and his glory. So how do we continue on maximizing our God-given shape? Well, number one, we have to discover it. Number two, we have to accept it. And then number three, God wants us to enjoy it. God wants us to enjoy the shape that he has given us and how he has made us. Ecclesiastes 5 tells us this: to enjoy your work and to accept your lot in life, this is a gift from God. People who do this rarely look with sorrow on the past, for God has given them reasons for joy. God wants you to accept and to enjoy who he's made you to be. He's made you to be something wonderful and unique and beautiful and amazing. And because he's made you that way, and he is the creator and the maker, just like Pastor Rick was talking about, he wants you to enjoy and to accept that gift. He doesn't want you to be anybody else except for you. He's not going to compare you to anyone else. And when you do that, there are three benefits that happen in your life. And Philippians 2:13 talks about these three benefits. Let's take a look at this next verse. It is God who is at work within you, energizing and creating in you the power and desire to will and to work for his good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. When you are living in your shape, when you are doing what God made you to do, there's three things that happen in your life according to this verse. You might want to write these down. The first thing is that you will feel energized. You will have energy like you've never experienced before. And it's not just energy to get up and go in the morning, like physical energy. It's that you feel alive inside. Inside of you, you feel like this is what you were born to do. This is what you were made to do. It resonates in the deepest part of your heart and your desire and deep down in your soul. You know, this is what God has made me to do. And so you feel alive. You'll be the first one to show up before anyone else. You'll be the last one to leave before anyone after everyone else is gone, because you know this is what God has made you to do. A second benefit is that you get more confidence. There's more confidence that comes with knowing that this is who God made you to be. Do you know where the word confidence comes from? It comes from two Latin words, con and fide. Con and fide in Latin mean with faith. You don't get confidence from self-help books or from listening to CDs or MP3s or the radio talking about how great you are. You get confidence with faith from God. It's with faith that you know that you are doing exactly what God has made you to do. And when you're in with faith in God in the process, and he is showing and revealing who you are in him, that becomes who your identity is, and you have confidence because you're doing what God has called you to do and has made you to do. The third benefit is that you have significance and satisfaction in life. You feel fulfilled and fruitful with what's going on, with what God is allowing you to be able to do. A lot of us live at this the survival stage of life. We're just trying to get by. We're trying to make it from one day to the next, one paycheck to the next, just trying to get done with our day, and then we get our to-do list done, and then by the time we go to bed, we're so exhausted, we collapse into bed, and we think, oh my goodness, dear Lord, we gotta do it again tomorrow. How are we gonna do that? And we just live in this survival stage of life, and God doesn't want us to live there. And a lot of us, we try to move into the success stage, and we define it by the world's standards, not by God's standards. And God doesn't want us to live there either, because once you get to the success stage, whether it's by the world's standards, you'll realize that it's still empty, that you might be not living by survival, but you still feel empty. And it's because God wants all of us to live at the significant stage of life. He doesn't want you to drift through life. He wants you to know that he can use you in ways that you've never possibly imagined, that he's got great plans for your life, and he wants you to feel significant and whole. And you do that by discovering who God made you to be, which comes to our fourth point, which is how do we maximize our God-given shape? Number four, we need to develop it and use it. We need to develop and use the shape that God has given us. Shape is like a muscle. If you don't use it, you lose it. You know, if you don't work out your muscles, you don't exercise your muscles, the muscle becomes atrophied. And God doesn't want that to happen in your life. You look at these amazing musicians in our vocal team, our worship artists that we have up here on stage every single week. And you look at them, you're like, wow, they're so amazing. They're so good. They didn't start out that way. They weren't any good when they first started. Right? They had to learn years and years and years ago. They had to learn and practice and do this talent that God has put in them and work on these abilities and work on what God has made them to be and develop those muscles and to grow them to where they're at today. Oftentimes we look at people, we're like, man, I love where they're at. I wish I could be there because I can sing, or I can play a musical instrument or whatever it is, that ability or gift that God's given you. And the way you get there is by developing it, by serving, by growing, by giving it to the Lord. 2 Timothy 1:6 says this: keep using the gift God gave you. Let it grow as a small flame grows into a fire. Shape is just the beginning. It's the starting point. It's not the end game. It's getting you to understand where you're at today, where God made you, but you are gonna be different and you're gonna grow throughout the years. So view this as something that's gonna be a lifelong journey for you. Not, you're right starting out today. Some of you have been on the journey for a while. Some of you, this is brand new to you, but you are starting out looking at what God has done in your life and how he's made you. And here's the beauty thing about it. Let's say you've taken class 301 years ago or whenever you took it, or maybe you haven't taken it, that's okay. The spiritual gifts you have, there might be some you haven't even unwrapped yet. You still need to unwrap them. You have presents that God has given sitting on the shelf that he's given you. You have different passions you're gonna develop throughout the years. You have experiences happen 10 years ago. Think of all the experiences you've had in the past 10 years and all the experiences you're gonna have in the future that God wants to use for his glory and he wants to use in your life. 1 Peter 4:10 tells us this: God has given each of us special abilities. Be sure to use them to help each other, passing on to others God's blessings. Will you circle that phrase at the end of this verse, passing on to others God's blessings? Your spiritual gifts, your shape, your spiritual gifts, your heart, your abilities, your personality, those experiences that happen in your life, the good, the bad, the beautiful, the ugly, all of those things, God wants to use them for his glory. He wants to make you and me a visual aid to a lost world, a visual aid of Jesus' power and love and compassion and forgiveness to a world that is dying and lost. He wants you to be the light bearers for him as you go into your homes, as you go into your neighborhoods, you go into your businesses, as you meet with family and friends that you have. Now, the greatest blessing you're ever gonna experience, is knowing Jesus as your personal savior. That's the starting point for all this. It's asking God to come into your life. It's saying to Jesus, Jesus, I want to get to know you. Help me to get to know you. I wanna start a relationship with you. I don't want religion, I want a relationship with you. And I wanna start that with you today. Pastor Rick's gonna give you an opportunity later on in just a few minutes to do that. That's the starting point. And then the second greatest decision you can make is going after and finding out who God has made you to be. As parents, these are the two greatest things we can do with our kids. Introduce them to Jesus and then help them discover who God has made them to be. God has got a place for you in this world. You are not an accident and you are needed, and God wants to do amazing things in your life.
Okay, let's wrap this up. What's the one thing that keeps you from becoming who God made you to be? What's the one thing that keeps you from using your shape? Write it down. Fear. That's the word. It's fear. It scares you to become somebody that other people may not understand. It is fear. There's a story in the Bible where Jesus calls it the parable or the story of the talents. We actually get the word talent from this Bible story. In Bible times, a talent was actually an amount of money. It equaled like an entire year's salary. And Jesus tells the story of a businessman who gives his employee one. He gives several talents, another 10, another he gives 5, another he gives 1. He says, invest this, I'll be back, and I'm going on a trip. When he comes back, one guy and another guy have both doubled their money. The third guy says this here on the screen. He says, I was afraid, so I hid the talent you gave me in the ground. Have you done that? You were afraid, so you hid the talent that God gave you in the ground. The Bible says we're made of ground, we're made of dust. Some of you are hiding it inside of you. It's time to stop hiding your shape. It is fear. Now, why must I maximize my shape? Well, I could give you lots of reasons. You'll be more fulfilled. You'll enjoy life more. You'll be more fruitful and successful in your life if you're doing what you're shaped to do, not what you're not shaped to do. But the bottom line is this, write it down, because I'm accountable to my Creator. I am accountable to my Creator. God decided your shape. God created you. God made an investment in you, and he expects a return on the investment. The Bible says this in Psalm 33. From where he sits, God overlooks all of us on earth. He has shaped each person, and now he watches everything we do. Somebody will say, but nobody sees what I do. Well, God does. Never mistake anonymous with insignificance. And as Tommy mentioned earlier, one day you're going to stand before God. He's going to ask you two questions, and you're not going to miss this exam. And the first question, what did you do with my son, Jesus? Hope you know the answer to that one. I invited him into my life. I trusted in him. And the second question is, what did you do with what I gave you? Your spiritual gifts, your heart, your ability, your personality, your experiences. Oh, God, I had a great time, made a lot of money, retired and died. Ah, wrong answer. You better be ready for that final exam. It's why you're here on earth. God puts you here to fulfill your shape and fulfill your purpose. Every wonder, you look around in the world, there's a lot of cool things in the world. Every wonderful achievement, everything of beauty in created in this world was done by somebody's God-given shape. Everything that's cool was done because somebody, God shaped somebody to do it in business, health, whatever, education. On the opposite thing, on the other hand, all of the destructive things in the world are because somebody misused their shape and misused their talent. The difference is what God has given to you, you must give it back to God. God has given you your S-H-A-P-E. Now you've got to give it back to God, and then he'll use it in a great way. Closing verse on the screen. Offer every part of your body to God to be used in doing good. That verse right there, I made that one many, many years ago in my life. I'll close with this. In my heart of hearts, at the core of my being, I want to use my shape for God, to serve God by serving other people. And to the best of my ability, I have tried to do that with my life, to use my spiritual gifts, my heart, my abilities, my personality, my experience to serve other people by serving God. And it has produced fruitfulness in my life, and it has made my life very fulfilling. And as your pastor, I deeply want that for you. I want that for you, for every one of you. I want your life to be fruitful, successful, and I want it to be fulfilling. But it's not going to happen if you're trying to be something you weren't meant to be. You got to be wired for your shape. Let's bow our heads. God, you gave us a mind that we might know you. You gave us emotions that we might feel your love and even express that love back to you. And you gave us a free will that we might choose to follow you. Now you pray. Say, God, in your mind, say, God, today I dedicate or rededicate my life to you. I want to be what you made me to be. I want to discover my shape. I want to accept my shape. I want to enjoy my shape. And I want to develop and use my shape to serve you by serving other people. I ask you to make my life fulfilling and fruitful as I become what you made me to become. Jesus Christ, I invite you into every area of my life. You know the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I turn it over to you as best I know how. And I ask you to make the rest of my life the greatest period of my life. And I humbly ask this in your name. Amen.
Wow, some powerful words from Pastor Rick today. And now this is really one of my favorite parts of the broadcast. This is letters from our listeners. And now here's Rick.
Friends, if you're having trouble staying consistent in your Bible study and quiet time, one thing you can do is have the Daily Hope devotional and podcast emailed to you every single day. Did you know that? Now, each devotional, each daily devotional, gives you a Bible verse and both a written and an audio teaching about that verse. Now, I mention this because that's exactly what one of my listeners has done. Marla wrote me, and she says that getting Daily Hope devotionals have helped deepened her relationship with the Lord and helped her be more consistent. Marla writes this, "Hello, Pastor Rick. I've been a Christian all my life, but I felt lost for the past few years.
But a friend of mine told me about your Daily Hope emails, and I've been getting them for about a month now. I read them every morning, and my meditation and prayer practices have become more regular and definitely more meaningful. My relationship to God has grown because of you and the Daily Hope ministry. I now listen to your podcast every day on my way to or from work, and I love it. So I felt compelled to tell you that I've gotten so much from your Creating Life-Shaping Conversations podcast. They have really helped me as a mother, as a wife, as a boss, and as a friend. So I'm going to share them with my oldest daughter, who's 19. She's trying to find friends and find her way in college. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, thank you, Marla. Thank you for writing. I'm so encouraged to hear how God uses Daily Hope to change lives and to help people just like you grow closer to Him. You know, I think it's great that you are sharing your Daily Hope podcast with your daughter. And I would invite all of our listeners to do this. I have no doubt that she's going to learn to lean on the Lord. And as she does that, she'll develop biblical discernment. That means knowing which way to go and who to relate to. And it's going to help her find her way in college. Now, Marla mentioned the Creating Life-Shaping Conversations podcast. Some of you have heard that. Some of you haven't heard it. They're part of a series called Talking About Stuff That Matters. And I think you'll find the whole series very helpful for starting conversations with your family and with your friends about the most important things in life. Now, you'll find the Daily Hope podcast on my website, PastorRick.com. All of these podcasts are free. And the reason we're able to do that is because of the generous gifts from listeners like you. So those of you who are supporting us financially, a million thanks. You're making a difference. You're changing lives. Your gifts are causing people to come into the kingdom, grow in Christ, and become all God intended for them to be.
Hey, if you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed you, he would love it. Please feel free to send him an email at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.